goodsuccess.com.
Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for the privilege to learn again at your feet today. Thank you for everything you have taught us over the past few weeks about marriage. And as we wrap up today, Father, receive our thanks in Jesus' name. And let every word we have received also impart your blessings upon our lives. And let us all be blessed indeed. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. The topic remains 7 smart keys to an enjoyable forever after. We've started a series on marriage over the past 4 or 5 weeks, and it's been the true secrets of success in love and marriage. And we've been blessed so much. We've learned so many things that will help us have a good marriage. And last week we had a topic titled Mastering the Art of Communication for Good Success in Life and Marriage. And we were able to understand the impact of communication on marriage, that everything actually rises and falls on the quality of our communication in marriage. If the line of communication breaks down, then everything else we do with our spouse, everything we say is not trusted. What we say is also misinterpreted. So we need to understand the power of communication in marriage. So let's take that seriously, the power of communication. Without good communication, no marriage can actually last. And today, the topic remains 7 smart keys to an enjoyable forever after. Keys actually open doors in life. It doesn't matter how big a door is. Eventually, you will need a key to open it. But before we continue today, let's read some scriptures. Matthew 16:19, it says, "And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven." God says, through the keys, you can do whatever is being done in heaven. You can bind, you can loose. Then the second scripture is Proverbs 24:3. And it says, "Through wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established." And if you read verse 4, it says, "By knowledge, the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches." That means if you're going to build our houses, we must understand that there are keys involved. There are things we must do. There are mistakes we could make in a marriage that could, you know, affect the joy in that marriage, that could affect the peace and the enjoyment we are supposed to have in that marriage. When we miss it, we can miss a whole lot of things. And let's understand that every marriage is a representation of generations to come. It imports all the things from generations past, but it has the opportunity of rewriting history, of doing things that were not done before in the past generations. For example, if your parents or my parents have a good marriage, in my own marriage, I have the opportunity of correcting the mistakes. I have the opportunity of creating a new lineage. I have the opportunity of starting something that my parents could not start. So that is the opportunity we all have in marriage. And I pray that you and I will not blow it up in Jesus' name. Also, we were able to understand in time past that every marriage actually represents the relationship between Jesus Christ and the church. The Bible says a man should love his wife the same way Jesus loved the church and died for it. So God wants your marriage and my marriage to be a perfect representation of what God's original dream about marriage, of what it is. So that is what it's all about. So keys open great doors. The Bible even says that the kingdom of heaven, do you know how big it is, how powerful it is? God sent Adam and Eve away from the Garden of Eden for them not to touch the benefits of the kingdom after they have eaten the wrong fruit. The kingdom of God is not where you and I can just have access to, except through salvation. So God is revealing to us that the kingdom of heaven also has keys, as big as it is. The moment you become born again, you have the keys to the kingdom. You become a family of God. That is the major key that gets you access to the kingdom of God. So the same way, in every area of your life, if you and I don't understand that there are keys involved, we may be missing the blessing associated with that aspect of life. Every aspect of life has a key. After this marriage series, we're going to be talking about mysteries and miracles. Some of us think everything in the kingdom revolves around miracles. But to disappoint you, I would like you to know that the intention of God is for you to enjoy the mysteries, not just to revolve around the miracles. The miracles are available to everyone. Even sometimes unbelievers enjoy miracles. That's the truth. Some people, the reason they entered the kingdom of God, they became born again, is because they enjoyed God's miracle. For example, see all the people Jesus healed. Were they all saved? Were they all born again? No. Jesus used the bait of miracle to bring them to the kingdom. So, miracles are like the baseline things. That's not the highest height of it all. But today is not the day for that. So, that's the series we're going to be taking after now. So, let's understand that there are keys that guarantee results in every area of life. And today we are looking at marriage. What are those keys that can guarantee results anywhere, anytime, no matter where you are in the world? Number one key we are looking at today is that some mistakes are irreparable, but all mistakes are manageable. For example, if I drop an egg on the table and it breaks, that egg cannot be taken as a whole egg again. It is broken and broken. It is irreparable. There is nothing you can do about it, but you can manage that situation. I can decide what I do with the situation I've found myself in. If I've made a very major mistake in my marriage, I can decide how I'm going to manage that challenge. I can decide how I manage it. For example, if I've broken the egg, I can decide to make an omelette out of the egg. I can decide to make pancake out of it. I can decide to make scotch egg, meat pie, cake itself. I can make it out of that egg that is broken. That means out of the mess you have made, you can also still manage it. You can manage every situation through the wisdom of God. That's why the scripture we first read says, through wisdom a house is built, by understanding it is established. And it says, by knowledge of the right keys, by knowledge, the rooms are filled with all manner of precious things. So if you look at your family, if you look at your business, if you look at anything in your life, and it's lacking all manner of precious riches, then you need to look for the key, the knowledge to that aspect of life. So some mistakes are irreparable, but all mistakes are manageable. That's the number one key we are looking at today. Always put before you the law of consequences. Understand that you can also avoid mistakes. Whenever you want to jump into a mistake or you want to take an action, always remind yourself, what will be the consequence of this action? It doesn't matter how born again you are. If you make some mistakes, there are consequences. They are the principles of God. Consequences are waiting. You don't decide the consequences in life. You only decide the actions. And that is why you and I must take the right actions all the time. And also know that even though you may have made a mistake, there is always a way out. God can make a diamond out of your charcoal. And God can also make a miracle out of your mess. The woman that Jesus cast several demons out of her, Mary Magdalene, she became a major person used in the gospel. No matter what the mess you have made, you can make a miracle out of it. That is where God is. So number one is, some mistakes are irreparable, but all mistakes are manageable. Number two, don't let the line of communication fail. We mentioned that before. Master the art of verbal and articulate non-verbal communication. Communication is everything in marriage. You must master the art of it. You must learn it. Every artist has an inbuilt talent. I'm an artist by God's grace. I have an inbuilt talent in me, but if I never trained it, it will just be a raw material. The same way every one of us can communicate. Like we mentioned last week, the first thing you did when you came to this world was communicate. You cried. That was communication. And everybody rejoiced because now they know you are alive. Now you must begin to learn. The same way you learned how to talk. You speak English or French or whatever you speak, or Yoruba or Igbo or whatever. You learned how to speak that language. But it's not only enough to speak the wordings of that language. You must know how to communicate with the right words, with the right non-verbal communication. So learn the art, master the art of it. You master it over and over again. By using it over and over again, you learn to do better and better and better. So under the line of communication, we must master love language. Like we mentioned last week, there is love language, right? Love language is that aspect that makes each one unique. How I interpret things is different from how you interpret things. For example, my love language could be receiving help from people. It could be the word of affirmation. You can look for that book. There's a book called The Five Love Languages. It's very good for everyone who wants to make success out of his or her marriage. So please look for that book, read it, and you will learn a lot of things about communication in marriage. For example, there are many things you can do just to talk to your wife without even talking at all. I mentioned last week how our parents, if you grew up from a part of what I grew up from, our parents can just look at you without saying anything, without moving their eyes, without saying anything. Just know that they are saying, if you ever touch that thing, and you behave yourself. The same way in marriage, have you noticed that there are some people in marriage that after some years, if you meet the husband and ask a question, and meet the wife and ask a question at the same time in different places, they're going to answer the same way. Because now they have blended. They have become one. Master love language. You need to know what actually makes your wife happy. What makes your husband happy. Master the love language. Then we jump to number 3 today. We have talked about some mistakes are irreparable, but all mistakes are manageable. Then number 2, don't let the line of communication fail. I don't want to dwell on this one too much because we dwelt on it last week. Please listen to that episode on communication. Then number 3, accept your spouse for who they are. This is more like the most difficult aspect of this. Accepting somebody for who they are is a lot of work. Everybody comes into marriage having an idea of what they think their spouse should be. Even when you have seen that they are not, in some aspects of life, you still wish somehow. Something inside of you still feels like, no, they are going to change. Or no, this is not who they are. You know, you can meet somebody who doesn't talk and begin to convince yourself that, no, he talks very well. Or she talks very well. But God actually wants you to marry somebody who doesn't talk the way you do. Right? But you just feel like, no, she talks a lot. And she doesn't talk. She only talks when you talk. Because you are the one who starts the conversation. So, for everyone who is not married here, I want you to study the person you are dating. If you are dating anyone, or when you eventually meet that person, that wonderful person you want to meet, study them. They are going to be different from you in different ways. Difference in life is the spice of life. It's what actually makes this world interesting. If all of us are the same, this world is going to be boring. This world is not going to be a place that everyone wants to be. So you and I must study the person we married or you're going to marry and accept some things. There are some things you can't accept. For example, we mentioned the place of value in past episodes. Your values must not change. Your values of holiness, of righteousness, of serving God cannot change. But you can, you know, for example, like I mentioned earlier, if you think, this person talks a lot. You talk a lot. You think you want to marry somebody who talks a lot. Of course, that's actually not the person to marry. You are supposed to marry somebody who's opposite in that aspect. Listen to, I think, the episode we mentioned about, you know, the difference also. But what we are emphasizing now is that there are going to be major differences between you and your spouse. There are going to be things that differentiate you and your spouse. There are some things in their life that you cannot change. Now that you are married, accept those things. Now, you married the person you loved. Now, love the person you married. There's a difference between the two. Now, you love the person, you like the person, you wanted the person, you married, you were laughing on your wedding day. Now that you are married, decide to love that person because that's what real love is. Real love is deciding to protect, to pleasure, and even to make the person happy. You know, you protect the person, you pleasure the person, and to please the person. That is what real love is. It is not even about feelings. That means whether you feel like it or not, you still do all those three things. You protect them, you pleasure them, you are looking for ways to make them happy, and you please them. That is what real love is. Now accept it. There are some things in your spouse that will be totally different from what you expect. For example, maybe your spouse snores, and you never thought that was going to be a reality. Now that it's a reality, accept it. Maybe you can help them make a change, but always remember that people, especially in some habits, people will not change except they want to change. So you may only need to pray. If you talk from today to tomorrow, the person doesn't want to change in some aspect will not change because there's nothing you can do about it. You can't change. So instead of complaining and complaining every day, take it into prayer. First, accept that this is the person I've married. They may have some physical disabilities. You know, some things that are not just perfect in their lives that you never discovered until you got married. Please, and please accept them for who they are right now. Then begin to pray. And if possible, you can discuss with them. If they want to change, fine. If they don't want to change, you keep praying again for them to see it. Because all habits will not change except the person wants to change. So don't go into marriage to change your spouse. It's a recipe for marriage failure. If you go into marriage to change somebody, you're just planning to fail. And none of us will fail in Jesus' name. So don't try to change anybody. Look at who they are before you go married. And now that you have married, accept who they are. And begin to pray and find a way to live with whatever thing you don't like. Number four, we have mentioned some mistakes are irreparable, but all mistakes are manageable. Don't let the line of communication fail. No matter what the challenge is, keep the line of communication open. Keep talking. Keep communicating. Keep discussing things. We have mentioned also, accept them for who they are. You have married the person you loved. Now love the person you married. Then number four, live an offense-free life. I can't mention this enough. Live an offense-free life. Don't let offenses stay in your life. Apart from the fact that it separates you from God, it doesn't let your prayers get answered. You open yourself up for hypertension, for all manner of sicknesses. When you hold on to offenses, sicknesses come into your life cheaply. So you are even helping yourself not to allow offenses to stay in your life. This begins with number one, knowing who you are, knowing your difference, your temperament and theirs. Some things you get angry about, they're actually things you shouldn't get angry about. You get angry about those things because you don't know your spouse. For example, you are sanguine and your spouse is melancholy. Sanguine will be happy, jumping around, singing, happy, playing with everybody. Now you are angry and you want to force your husband or your spouse to do the same. You are already setting a pace for failure. No. Learn to accept them for who they are, like we mentioned before. Now, live an offense-free life. The moment you understand who they are, you are not going to be saying, now you want to force them to become who you are. You are not going to be angry about what they are doing because you know they are definitely different from who you are. Now that you know they are different, then you can look for ways to enjoy them because they are a blessing to you, not a curse. So, number one, put at the back of your mind that people are going to offend you. Expect to be offended. Offense is part of life. In fact, there's a saying that says that to offend people is human. Human beings offend. Understand that people will offend you as long as you are alive and you are living with people who are alive. Expect to be offended. Don't be surprised when people offend you. You'll be offended by people who love you and you love. In fact, it is only people you love that can offend you. Like I mentioned in one episode, if an insane person is walking on the street naked and he just talks to you anyhow, you're going to fire in pity, not anger. But imagine if your spouse says the same thing an insane person says to you, you're going to be offended. So the reason you are offended is because you love them, you honor them, you respect them. So expect to be offended. Offense is part of life. Then 4B now, don't nurture offenses. Any offense that can stay for 5 minutes, like I used to say, can stay for 10 years, can pass from generation to generation. Offenses. Now, let's imagine US, for example. When did they end the slave trade? Hundreds of years ago. Guess what is still happening? There's still racism. People are still looking at the black people as less than human beings. Some people still look at them like that. And some black people still look at the white people as those who enslaved them. They are still offended. This is hundreds of years past. So don't be the one who passes offenses from yourself to your children. Some people, because they are angry with their husband or with their wife, they pass the offense to their children. They make the children hate their spouse. No, don't pass offenses. Don't nurture offenses. It is not good for your health. It is not good for your spirituality. You can't even make the kingdom of God if you are offended in anybody. I don't care what they have done. Yes, of course, I care that people have offended you. But no matter what they have done, don't stay offended. Find a way to forgive. Give yourself an excuse to forgive. The same way you give yourself an excuse not to forgive, give yourself an excuse to forgive them, especially that you want to make heaven, especially that you don't want some sicknesses in your life, especially that you don't want to open the door for the devil in your life. Offenses are very cheap at opening the door to the devil in the life of people. Then 4C now, don't intentionally offend your spouse. You know, the Bible says something, it says, offenses will surely come. It says, but woe to those through whom they come. Don't be the one who intentionally offend your spouse. Some people will say, I just want to do something to see what they will do. No, don't do that. Don't intentionally offend your spouse. Don't even tempt them. No, look for ways. Love looks for ways to make the best out of people. And then under offenses, live an offense-free life. Apologize quickly and genuinely. Apologize quickly and genuinely. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter what has happened. Apologize quickly and genuinely. I'm very sorry. I know I'm wrong. Acknowledge that you are wrong and apologize. Don't apologize like, oh, sorry, it's okay. No, that's not to apologize. Apologize genuinely. Let people know that you are really sorry if you have offended them. People can forgive any offense. I mean, they only find it difficult to relate with people who have bad attitudes. So apologize quickly and genuinely. Then number five today, we are going to seven. Number five, remain one. Let's go through it again. Number one, we said some mistakes are irreparable, but all mistakes are manageable. Then number two, don't let the line of communication fail. Number three, accept your spouse for who they are. Then number four, live an offense-free life. That's number four. Then number five, remain one. No matter what, don't let anything come between you. Jesus said, whatever God has joined together, let no man put asunder. What is the meaning of that big grammar called asunder? That means what God has joined, don't be the one to separate it. Don't let anything separate it. Don't let anything come between that. Don't let anyone come between you and your spouse. God made you one. Now, just to mention this, I'm going to be sensitive about this. It's a sensitive topic. Now, beware of the subtle way your parents, especially mothers and mothers-in-law, try to come between you and your spouse without even knowing what they are doing. Most times they don't do it intentionally. In fact, no good woman will want to break the marriage of a child, you know. But you know, because they love you, they are overprotective. They want to just do things perfectly. They want you to be okay. Without knowing it, they creep into your marriage without knowing it. Now it is your place to make sure your parents stay in their place. Let them know their place and let them stay there. It's not everything you discuss with your parents. No. Some things are meant to be between the two of you, and two of you agree on what you even want to discuss with your parents and when is the right time to discuss things. Don't let anything come between you. God made you one for a reason. That's why God says the man should leave his parents. And of course, I believe the reason he didn't mention the part of the woman is because he expects the woman to leave. So he's only telling the man that, man, in case you think it's only the woman that should leave, no. I'm telling you also that you two, leave your parents. Become one. Cleave. Become one. Don't let anything come between the two of you. Anything. Anyone. Don't let anything come between you. And I pray God will give us the grace and the wisdom to do what is right always so that we remain one with our spouse and produce the marriage that God expects of us in Jesus' name. Then number six, gradually wrapping up, raise godly and healthy children. Very important. The joy of a marriage can hit the rocks when the children begin to go wayward. The joy of a marriage can crash when the children are not becoming what the parents think they should be. When you have children, you expect them to become great children. You expect them to become healthy. Now, it is your responsibility and my responsibility to raise godly children. The Bible says in the book of Malachi that God wants you and I to raise godly seed from our union. Godly seed from our union. So, God wants you and I to feed your children physically well. They need to be healthy. They need to be fit. The responsibility of giving them the right food is yours and mine. So, make sure your children eat healthy. Make sure they go to the right school. You choose the school they want to go. Schools, not because the school is popular. Not because the school is where all the rich people go or, you know, people in your class. No. Choose a school with moral standards. Choose a school that will teach the things of God. Prayerfully choose a school, actually. If you have to fast to choose a school, do that. Do you know what? You probably stay active 2 hours if you do. with your children every day. I doubt if many of us do that. I mean, active, intentional 2 hours with the children is scarce. But you know, when they go to school, they are there probably for 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, 8 hours, depending on the kind of school, with their teachers. So you want to choose the school they attend, because they're going to be learning so much more from school than they learn from you. So you want to choose the school and prayerfully choose the school. A school may be good, the teacher may be bad. You may have to take your children from a school if the teacher is not the right teacher for your children. So it's your responsibility, it's my responsibility. And lastly, last but not the least, don't generalize issues. Don't generalize issues. This is very important. Be specific about appreciation. Don't just look at your wife or your husband and say, "Thank you for everything you do." What is that? Nothing. Say to your wife, "I thank you. The way you handle the children, wow, I cannot even imagine doing it. I don't have the capacity. You are doing it so much." That is appreciation. The food you cook today, not all the food you have been cooking, no, the one you cook today, "Thank you so much for it. I really enjoyed it." Be specific. Be specific. Be instant. Be in season when it comes to appreciation. Mention those things, those particular things you want to appreciate them about. If you have something they have done against you, don't just say, "That is what you do all the time." That's generalizing. Nobody can do something all the time. "All the time, you're always abusing me." It's not possible. "I don't like the way you talked to me yesterday or now or just a minute ago. I don't like the words you used." Fine, that is being specific. Don't say, "All the time, you just talk to me anyhow. You don't cook well all the time." No, why should you even complain about food in the first place? No. But even if you have a complaint, mention a specific thing and still do it in such a way that they won't feel bad. Both men and women, this is for you and I. Be specific about appreciation. Be specific if you have any complaints, and let your expectations be specific. You know, so many times you are angry about things you never told people you want. That's the truth. You know, I was listening to a program, and you know, the couple were talking, and I think the husband or the wife was saying that maybe he or she, that he was always angry about something that he wanted his wife to do. And you know, he was angry until one day he asked himself, "Have I ever told my wife I wanted this? I never expressed it." So you and I must learn the place of being specific in our expectation. Express your expectation. You know, we mentioned it also last week. Express your expectations. And finally, communicate your expectations clearly. One word can mean several things depending on context. For example, you know, if you're Yoruba, the word IGBA can mean a lot of things. Igba, 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 igba. I've just mentioned how many things now. Just one word. For example, if you mention the word "short" in English, if you say something is short, I will say, "Okay, you are comparing height." Now, if I mention shorts now, what will come to your mind? YouTube video shorts. That's another word. The same word has now meant something else. So be specific in your communication and communicate your expectations clearly. Communication is not complete until the other party, the person on the other end of the channel, until they understand exactly what you want them to understand. Not what they think you are saying, but what you are saying. So that's the place of communication. Make sure you communicate clarity. And I pray that as you begin to take all these steps, the joy of our marriage will know no bounds. I'll begin to enjoy our marriage in Jesus' name. Amen. That will be the end today. Yes, as we close, I have 3 bonus points that I want to add to the 7. Give prompt and public honor to your spouse. Every time you have the opportunity, give prompt and public honor to your spouse. Then provide financial support. Provide financial support. Then also provide emotional and sexual companionship. Those are 3 extra things that we are adding to the 7 points. Okay, we call it a day today. Let's close today. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for the word you have sent to us today. Blessed be your name, in Jesus' name. And Father, we pray that as we have learnt your word today, let us all receive the grace to do everything we have learnt. And I pray that, Lord, we all enjoy a great marriage in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. See you next week in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Bye, everyone, and stay blessed.
The good success.com.